Greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has been a while since I come to the English worship service. I've been in the Chinese worship service for a while and thank the Lord for sustaining and keeping the work in the worship service in the Chinese congregation. It's not easy to serve, but the Lord has been good, and also the Lord has blessed that even through our church evangelism, we have 2-3 who have come forth living in this area to join the Chinese worship. And I was thinking of the many that we have to minister to who are of age and older, and how long we can sustain in this work, because when that generation passes and if the Lord tarries, we may not need another Chinese congregation, because by then everybody can speak English. I will say how the Lord leads. As the Lord gives us strength and grace to serve Him, let us persevere on. Many times when we read the Bible, there are times that when we come across certain passages, we tend to skim it through or to avoid reading those passages. One reason is because when we come across passages in the Bible that are hard to understand, difficult to interpret, we tend to just skim it or just avoid, and without putting in effort to try to study, read again, meditate, or even to read through some commentary to understand what it means. But there are other passages that we also tend to look at the Bible and then quickly skim over it, because these are words that will prick our hearts, words that when you read it, will cause us to feel very uneasy. And some of these are very hard things that we want to avoid and not want to face the facts of it. And this afternoon, we're going to read into one of these passages what I call the hard sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very extreme words that tells us about discipleship, what it means to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may I ask you to open your Bible to the passage that we have read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, and reading from verse 25 to 35 that we have just read earlier on. And I entitled this topic as the high cost of discipleship. I'm sure you have come across this passage a number of times, and sometimes we just skim over it without thinking much what the Lord Jesus wants to tell you and I. But this afternoon, we want to seriously, solemnly ponder and think about these words. Because the very key words that Jesus is trying to tell us in this passage, and the Lord Jesus actually repeated 3 times here. And first is in verse 26, in the last line. You cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. Again, the Lord Jesus repeated the same phrase in verse 27. He cannot be my disciple. And similarly, in verse 33, he cannot be my disciple. And so 3 times the Lord Jesus said so clearly, you cannot be my disciple if you are not willing. You cannot be my disciple if you are not committed. You cannot be my disciple if you do not give up everything. And so this really is the key of this passage that the Lord Jesus asked us to ponder, that if you want to come to Him, if you want to say that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you must understand what it means, what it entails, what it calls us. In fact, if you look at verse 25, there were the great multitudes, right? The great multitudes, probably thousands and thousands, who often flocked to the Lord Jesus for all reasons, some for food, some for miracles, and some just out of curiosity. And there were multitudes of them who came to the Lord Jesus. And suddenly the Lord Jesus turned to them and then said these words to them, if any man come to me. And so the Lord Jesus makes the invitation to the whole thousands of multitude of people. If you want to come to me, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, then listen what it will cost you, what it means to be a true disciple. And you and I know that of the thousands and thousands who often flock to see the Lord Jesus Christ, to try to hear Him, actually many do not really believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are not true disciples. And you find that many at the end will turn their back against Christ. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 66, you find that the Bible records for us, many left the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, at the book of Acts, chapter 1, if you were to read of all the disciples that they gathered together after the Lord Jesus ascended, there were only 120 of them. Probably that was about those who truly follow, believe the Lord Jesus Christ as a true disciple. And so when the Lord Jesus saw these great multitudes, He made the invitation, yeah, you can come to me. You can be my disciple, but you must know what it means, what it costs you. And when just now we have read through the passage, I'm sure it speaks and pricks our heart, and you know that almost apparently the Lord Jesus is like chasing them away. You cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciples. That the Lord Jesus is asking them, don't be one if you are not ready. It's so unlike the world. Right? If you have a restaurant or you have a company and you want to have more and more customers, the world will have a different message. A message that rule number one is what? Make the customer happy. Do what they want. And so if you have a burger restaurant, if the customer wants a bigger burger, make them a bigger burger. If they want a Wi-Fi, give them a Wi-Fi in the restaurant. Give them the aircon. Give them whatever they want so that you have more and more customers. And sometimes a lot of churches also follow the same method like the world. Bring in the people, how? Right? If they want the electric guitar, if they want the drum, give it to them. Right? If they want dancing in the church, give it to them. If they want a message for just for 10 minutes, just speak for 10 minutes. Make everybody happy. I'm sorry, I'm not going to speak for 10 minutes. Right? But that's how the world is. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when He talk about discipleship, the cause of discipleship, it is literally chasing the people away and saying to them, you cannot be my disciples. And so, it is for us this afternoon to think and to ponder while we hope for more to come in our church to know the Lord. While we desire for people to come and maybe all the chairs to be filled and even to expand this place. We are here because we want people who are truly serious, who are committed, who want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to make everybody happy. First of all, I'd like you to see verse 26, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in order to be a true disciple, you must first come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man come to me. And so the first step of discipleship has to start with salvation. You must first come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must first receive Him into your heart. And that is very important. And many people who are just interested, I want to do this, I want to serve, but they've never truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first step that you and I must examine our heart is, have I come to the Lord Jesus Christ and am I truly saved? No one can be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ until you come in true saving knowledge. And what it means to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to come to be saved, right? You have to take, first of all, and understand the gospel. So you have to begin with understanding the gospel. The gospel message of salvation, that man is a sinner, we cannot save ourselves, and we are doomed for hell because of the punishment of our sin. And you understand that the only way is through the Lord Jesus who came to become man for us, to be our representative, to die for our sins, to rise again for us. And so, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin with an understanding of the gospel. But it is not enough. When you understand, secondly, you believe because you accept the gospel truth into your heart. You accept it, you understand it. There are many people who understand, but they say, no, no, I'm not a sinner. Yeah, whatever you say, I don't believe Jesus is real. Yeah. So they have understanding, but they don't have acceptance. And so when you say you come to the Lord Jesus, you understand the gospel, you accept this is the truth in your heart, and you know and acknowledge that you are a sinner, and you know that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and so you accept this. But accepting your heart is also not good enough. Because coming to the Lord Jesus Christ means you also must commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true belief. You understand, you accept the gospel truth, because there are people who accept it, who know, yeah, I know it's the truth, I know what you say is the truth, I know Jesus Christ is the Savior, but they're not willing. They're not willing to commit their life to follow Christ. They're not willing to surrender their life to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus to be the Lord, the master of their life. And so, again, this is not true belief. And so true belief then has to take this last step of committing your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, the Lord Jesus, you are the only one that I will love. Lord Jesus, you are the only one that I will follow all my life, and I commit to you. And so that is true salvation. That's true coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true belief when you and I have taken this step of following Christ, understanding the gospel, accepting the gospel, committing yourself to the true gospel to follow only the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you start your path of discipleship. And so salvation will always be tied with discipleship. True salvation, true following the Lord Jesus Christ, will never just be a one-time and then stop there. Yes, salvation is the one time you believe and trust the Lord Jesus. But then you will always follow by the whole life of true discipleship, where you commit your life and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is how a true believer is. You come to the Lord Jesus, you believe and trust in Him, and now you follow the Lord Jesus. And so you learn from the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a disciple. He is our Master. And so you grow to be like Him in your Christian life. And so you also mature in your faith. And then you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And at times that when we go astray, our Master will chasten us and cause us to come back to Him to learn and follow His path. And that is discipleship. And that's what you and I must learn, to walk the true path of discipleship. And so in the Bible, when we talk about discipleship, there are various terms that God will remind us as a disciple. We are also, right, the banner is in front of you, we are also pilgrim strangers. And so as you journey your path of discipleship, you're reminded that don't sink your roots on this earth. It's just, you're just a pilgrim. This world is not your home. And then there are other terms that remind us, as a disciple, you are an athlete. You have a race to run. Run the race, finish the course. Other terms of discipleship that the Bible reminds us, you are a soldier. You have a warfare. Fight a good fight for the Lord. And then another term is that you and I are servants. And you're here to serve the Lord, not to be served. And so really the core of salvation, of true discipleship, is a call of self-denial and not of self-fulfillment. When you really follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to share to you that it entails three things. Number one, look at verse 26. When you journey this path of true discipleship, the Lord Jesus, first of all, says, yes, you must come to me. Right? You have salvation, you truly believe, and I explain to you what is true belief. And then, as you journey in your discipleship path, it demands us to give up and abandon our past priorities in life. And so the Lord Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Our life basically consists of three domains, right? First of all, in the way we relate to people. So relationship, right? The people that you relate to, who they are, your parents, your children, your spouse, your friends, your church brethren. Secondly, your life also is about yourself, right? What do you hope to be? What do you like to be? What do you aim to be? What's your ambition? What's your career goal? And thirdly, your life will consist of what? Your possessions. Right? The things that you own. The things that you have, you purchase. Now as you and I walk this path of true discipleship, the Lord Jesus is telling us that it demands us to give up past priorities in our life. First of all, relationship. Relationship. Every relationship that you and I have with whoever has to be subservient, subordinate, has to be lower than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, the Lord Jesus said, if you come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sister. Now, I want you to understand, the Lord Jesus is not asking us to literally hate them, not to have this bitter anger or hostile attitude towards, right, all these people. Now, the word hate here means preference. Preference. You must love one more than the other. And so the Lord Jesus started telling us, in the past when you are not a disciple, and you're not a believer, you can love all of them above anyone. But now you're a Christian, now you follow the Lord, you have to make sure that all this, you have a new priority. Your love for Christ must supersede and be above your love for all other relationships. And it can be explained clearly. You turn your Bible to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 37. Right? Matthew, chapter 10, verse 37. So the word hate, right, is clearly explained here in Matthew, chapter 10, verse 37. Now, let's read this verse together. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Reading, go. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And so the first step in our life as we journey this path of discipleship is that in our relationship, we must make sure that we love the Lord Jesus above all else, above everyone. And that's what the Lord Jesus demands of us. This is a new priority. And look at it carefully. And look at the people that are described here. They may mean a lot to you. They're very dear to you. They are your own children. Come from your flesh and blood. And all that you did in the past, you give all your heart to them. You give all your resources to them. You think about them. You care for them. But from now onwards, when you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus, Jesus is saying, you must love me more than all these. Your parents. Right? You start with father, mother. When we were a young believer, many of us who believed the Lord then, we were all first generation Christians. Parents were not believers. Most of us come to know the Lord Jesus, hear the gospel. And it was very difficult in the home because our parents were really against us going to church, trusting the Lord Jesus. So I have one classmate who loved the Lord Jesus and he followed what the Bible says. You love above your father and mother and willing to obey the Lord in baptism. And because of that, he was chased out of the house. Until the Lord touched your parents' heart in the night to ask him to come back. I went through a very hard time in a family. My father took my Bible one day and tore my Bible in front of my eyes. But if you want to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus, much as we love our parents, but when it comes to our faith, we must be prepared to suffer for our faith, to put the Lord above our father and our mother. While we honor them, and yet we must not compromise in our faith. Next, relationship with your wife, your spouse, husband, wife. If your spouse is an unbelieving spouse, You must show that you love the Lord more than your unbelieving spouse by honoring the Lord, by putting God first, coming to the Lord's house, reading the Bible, praying for your unbelieving wife. And that's how you show that you love the Lord. But what about if you have a believing spouse? How do you show that you love the Lord in a practical way more than you love your spouse? If all that your conversation with your spouse is, dear, where shall we go for holiday? What should we buy for this house? Then maybe you're showing that you love the Lord less, because all that your conversation and tears is about the earthly things. I think a very practical way to show that you love the Lord, and the Lord say your love must exceed even the love of your spouse, is to be a godly example. To do the godly thing, to do the right thing, to please the Lord. And through your life, your spouse will come to walk closer to the Lord. And so, conversations that mean, let's have family devotion. Let's come for prayer meeting again. Let's serve the Lord in this area. Let's go for the fellowship meeting. I think conversations like this to your spouse shows that you love the Lord and you want to influence your spouse to come to even a closer walk with the Lord. And that shows that you love the Lord above your spouse. How about your children? The Lord Jesus also said, right? If any man, you hate not, you prefer your children above the Lord, then you are not worthy to be my disciples. As parents, we all love our children. And we are willing to give up almost anything for our children. Time, resources, money. But dearly beloved, if you are a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must love the Lord more than even your own children. Which means to say, all that you must think for your children is not just about their examination grade, how well they do in their study, how well they progress in their career. You must be more concerned about their spiritual life. That shows that you love the Lord more than your children. And I know it's not easy, right? A lot of you have young children, right? Exam just over, the next exam will come. And I remember when my younger daughter, after secondary one, yeah, sec one, came to me and said, Papi, right? They call me Papi, not because I'm a dog, huh? Right? Just the way they call it, P-A-P-I, not P-U-P-P-Y. So I want to join you on Tuesday prayer meeting in church. Just at the end of set one, when she told me that. You know, instead of rejoicing and thanking the Lord, and if I have loved the Lord more than my children, I would have rejoiced. And I was very worried. Will it affect your study? Will you be able to finish your homework on time? Like the whole Tuesday night will be gone. Will you be able to do well in your study? And that was my concern, rather than to thank the Lord. And the Lord has to rebuild me and chasten me and realize that if I want to love the Lord above even my own children, then it is my concern, it's my desire that they grow spiritually. And it's a good thing, right, to come and pray together, even at a young age, when she's willing to do it. Why should I stop it? And then when my older daughter finished her study in the university, all my colleagues come and tell me, John, you can relax now. Right? Yeah, children grown up, get their degree, now can work and support you. And she says she wants to study in FEBC full time. Again, I struggle. Right? You struggle. I mean, if you love the Lord above your children, you should rejoice that you gave a life to serve the Lord. But you struggle and you wonder, and what will happen? But again, the Lord has to teach me, to rebuild me, to cause me to come back to His Word. That I have to love the Lord. If I love the Lord, I want God's will to be done for my children. I want them to follow the way of the Lord in their life. Because I love the Lord above my children. Not if I love the children above the Lord, then I want the children to follow my way, my thinking, my path, what is good. And sometimes we think like the world. And so true discipleship entails relationship. Relationships that we all have, that we must put God above all else. And focus on the Lord. And he also tells us, not just your children, your brethren, your sisters, all your friends around you. And let me say to all the children here, students who are here, I know friends mean a lot to you. You want to have friends. And you want friends to accept you. Right? All the young people here. But you must never put your friends above the Lord Jesus Christ. You must never want their friendship first and to give up your friendship with the Lord Jesus. You must never do that. If you want to be a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must put the Lord Jesus above your friendship. If your friend asks you to do something that is wrong against God's word, your friend asks you to sin against the Lord, never, never do it, because you are a true disciple. Jesus is first in your life, and He is above all else, above your friends. You may lose that friendship. It doesn't matter. You may have the person who said to you, I will never be your friend. It doesn't matter. As long as the Lord Jesus is my friend, you continue to trust and follow Him. And so, it entails about relationship. All relationships in our life has to be subordinate, subservient to our relationship with the Lord Jesus. He must be first. And then if you look at verse 26, not just your relationship with others, it's about your own life, yourself, right? The last part of verse 26. And his own life. That means your own life. If you prefer your life above the Lord Jesus, you cannot be my disciple. A lot of our people here are growing up. You pursue your career goal. You have your aim, your ambition. But the Lord Jesus is saying to you today, this afternoon, you must give up all this. You must surrender all this. Your own personal aim, your own personal ambition, your goal. You must be willing to give up all this. If not, you cannot be my disciple. And so while you hope and aim to get better grades, get higher salary, maybe higher appointments, stay in a bigger house, drive a bigger car, you must be ready in your life to say, Lord, I want to follow you. What is your will for me? And not to pursue your own aim, your own goal, your own ambition. Your own life. Your own life, the Lord says, are you prepared to give up? And so verse 27 talks about your life. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Your own life, that means a lot to you. The Lord is asking you, are you willing to give it up? Are you willing now to take the cross? What does it mean to take the cross? The cross is a symbol of death. Dearly beloved, the cross is a symbol of death, a symbol of suffering, humiliation. In your own life, if you want to follow the Lord, you want to be a true disciple, it means that I'm willing to even to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the extent that Jesus is asking us. I know we all fear, we all tremble. And I tremble, I'm no different from you. But that's the kind of extreme discipleship that Jesus is asking. Are you willing, even your own life, to die for the Lord Jesus? And that's exactly in the early church. When they suffered persecution, many died for the Lord. And that was also expected of them, and they count not their own life dear to themselves. You know, today in China, if you heard from preacher Sua Yong Yahui, the government is cramping down the churches, making it hard for you to be a believer. And so I was told that a lot of government subsidies that in China today, if you declare yourself to be a Christian, you won't enjoy the subsidy. And so today, how many of you enjoy the Mendaki generation package? Right? If you are old enough, some of you do. Okay, you can keep quiet. I don't want to show your age. But if you enjoy the Mendaki package that's just been given out, and the government tells that if you declare yourself a Christian, you will not have this package. It's not for you. What will you do? What will you do? What will you choose? If you choose your own life, then you are not a disciple worthy of the Lord Jesus. Are you prepared to give up this? It's just some subsidy. It's just some money. But I tell you that many are not ready. It means too much to them. How can I, if I want to be a Christian, I have to give up this package that I will lose all my subsidies, all my enjoyment, all my benefits. But the Lord Jesus is not just asking us to give up a Mendaki package. He's asking us, am I willing to give up my life? Okay, thank you. And so, we must be like the Apostle Paul. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, what about our resources? You come to verse 33, just jump to verse 33. Right, that's the other part of our life. All these priorities that we had in the past, now as you think through, if you want to be a true disciple, what does it mean? And so if you jump to verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. And so you and I have many things, like a house, a car maybe, like your bank account, there are various things that you purchase. And Jesus is saying, if you want to be a true disciple, you must be willing to give up everything, forsake all that you have. Again, it's very extreme. The Lord is not asking us today to sell away everything, give to the church, and then live like a beggar. But the Lord is asking us, am I willing to do it? If I'm asked to do it, am I willing to do it? Am I willing to give up all that I have, all my resources, for the Lord, if it is God's will that I have to give it up? The Lord is reminding us very clearly that we are not an owner of anything. We are just a steward of the things that God gave us. Some time ago when I was serving in helping out in the Kuching Church, there was a sister who had cancer. Family are not so rich, and they sent her for the daughter for treatment. And they asked me for help, to support. And it's not easy, right? You have to part with your money. Oh, my heart earned money. Right? I worked hard, I saved for it. And now, are you willing to say, to love one another? As you learn God's word, and now there's a need here. And of course we struggle, right? I struggle. I'm just like you, flesh and blood. Right? We all struggle. But you learn and you pray. And you say, if it's God's will, there's a need. If I really love my brethren, and all this money that I have is God's provision. I'm not the owner. I'm the steward of it. And I must be ready to help. And so the Lord reminds us that in our whole life, priority has changed. Your relationships, yourself, your goal, your ambition, all that you own, the resources, the properties that you have, now is a new priority. A disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ now walk with only the Lord Jesus as first, and to follow Him and to commit your life to Him. Now this is the first point, what discipleship, the high cost of discipleship means. To give up, abandon all our past priorities, and have a new priority in Christ. Now secondly, the Lord wants us, in chapter 14 of Luke's Gospel, from verse 28, that the Lord wants us to have an honest assessment of our commitment. Nobody is going to force you, and nobody can force you. So you have to think and ponder what Jesus has just said. And so the Lord said in verse 28, and illustrate with this, which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he had sufficient to finish it. Lest happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What is Jesus telling us through this illustration? Right, to build a tower is not easy. It's a formidable task, right? To build a tower. It requires a lot of resources, requires a lot of time, a lot of planning. And then, if you build and you stop it, you cannot finish it, then you become a mockery. People will mock at you, laugh at you. Say you wanted, and then you could not finish. True discipleship demands us to really ponder about my commitment. Am I ready? Am I ready to come to the Lord Jesus? Am I committed? And so the Lord Jesus is using this first illustration to tell us, don't come to Him because of emotional reasons. Oh, I'm so down. I come to church singing, well, very happy. It's not because of emotion. Oh, I lose my job. Oh, now I got a job. Oh, I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends are here. Don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ for emotional reasons, because you will not be able to complete the tower. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ because you understand what the gospel is. You understand what it means to your life, that Jesus came to save you. You understand what is the true hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is eternal life. If not, when you cannot finish building the tower, when you give up halfway, people will mock at you, which means to say your life will be a bad testimony. Your life will shame the name of Christ. And that's terrible. And that's what we see sometimes in the Christian circle. And people say, I will not believe Jesus because of so-and-so who became like that, who did this thing. And so the Lord Jesus is asking you and I to ponder, if you want to come to Him, you want to believe the Lord Jesus, you want to follow Him, you want to be a true disciple, and think carefully. Are you committed? Don't come because Jesus is going to solve your problem. Or then I come. It's not going to be that superficial. Coming to the Lord means a lot. And then Jesus gave another illustration, right, in verse 31 and 32. It's a slightly different meaning here. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him, with come against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desire conditions of peace. Again, what is Jesus trying to tell us here? Slightly different from the first. The first is, don't come to him, all right, without really making a true commitment. Don't be emotional. Right? Be serious. Know what you're doing when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be his disciple. But the second is about war. It's about war. We are soldiers, you know what war is. We read about war. War means what? People die. And so if you want to make a war and you only have 10,000 soldiers and your enemy across there has 20,000 soldiers, can you win it? Can you beat them? Do you have a right strategy? If you don't, then you better make a peace treaty, right, with that nation. Surrender your freedom, surrender your rights, rather than have all the lives been sacrificed and people die. And so the second illustration is this. Your decision that you're going to make is a serious one. It's a life and death decision. It's a life and death decision. Because it's war, right? It's war. It's a life and death decision. You go to war, you fight against 20,000, and you lose, all your countrymen, all will die. All your soldiers will die. And so your decision, don't make it because of emotion. But remember, your decision is a life and death decision. And Jesus said that if you come to me, you follow me, it is a decision of life, eternal life. But if you say no to the Lord Jesus, I'm not prepared, I'm not willing, I'm not committed, I still love the world, I still love myself, I still love all my friendship. Remember, that decision that you make is a decision of death. Because that will mean that you have no salvation. And that is eternal condemnation when you die. You can enjoy the world now, but at the end, it is going to be the lake of fire. And so, the Lord Jesus said something, it means a lot of meaning to it. That you understand that that decision that you're going to make, don't rush into it, but understand what it means, what it entails, what the consequence is. And you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're willing to be a true disciple, then it is a decision of life. A lifetime of following the Lord, you may suffer, you may have to give up many things, but that is a decision of eternal life. Because only through Christ we have eternal life. So this afternoon, perhaps there are people here, you have been coming to church, but you are not saved. You have not committed yourself to the Lord Jesus. You are not ready. And you know what it means to be a true disciple. Jesus said very clearly. It's not my words. The Lord Jesus said all these words very clearly. And they are very plain words. Jesus did not mean his words. But remember, if you choose not to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to face the eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. Because your sins are still with you. Because your sins are not forgiven. And so make a wise choice. Make a choice that is so obvious. Follow the Lord Jesus and there's life eternal. Because Jesus lived, you will live also. But the Lord Jesus wants us to think, to ponder. And I hope that we will ponder seriously about this. Now, thirdly,